feet may fail, and there I find you in the mystery, in oceans deep, my faith will stand.
You are mine. Stormy banks I stand and cast a wishful eye to Canaan's fair and happy land where my possessions lie. I am bound for the promised land, I am bound for the promised land. Oh, who will come and go with me? I am bound for the promised land, promised land. Shall we gather at the river where bright angels' feet have trod, with its crystal tide forever flowing from the throne of God? Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful, beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows from the throne of God, throne of God. Go.
Hey-de-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. I want to welcome you to the Lord's message this morning on KCFJ AM 570. Today is a very special message. Last week, I enjoyed some time with my family on vacation. Guest pastor Bill Little is presenting a special message for you. With the events happening very rapidly in the world around us, have you ever wondered what would happen if millions of people just vanished? Do you know what you would do if you were one of the people that were left behind? Are you ready for the Lord's return to take His church to heaven? Today, Pastor Bill will answer those questions and give you insight on what you need to do today. We are also joined by Alturas' very own Shane Hunsaker and Grave to Gospel worshiping with us. This is a message that you don't want to miss. Stay tuned. After you listen to this message, come to Alturas Baptist Church and experience a message that God has designed for you. I look forward to meeting you when you arrive at 11 o'clock this morning at Alturas Baptist Church. Let's come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while also learning a vital life lesson from God that will guide you through this life. But for now, let us begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your message, and I ask that you teach us what you need us to learn to come closer to you. I ask that you soften our hearts and prepare our minds to take in your message and to guide us in applying your teachings to our lives. Guide us away from the temptations from this world and show us how to live a better life in your presence. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let's worship together with Shane Hunziker and Grave to Gospel with Pastor Bill Little.
All right. 1, 2, 3, 4. Devil calls my name, I won't answer. He's always on my back, but I won't take it. He follows me for miles and miles. That day I go insane, saying I've been running from the devil. Oh. He haunts me with skeletons in my closet. He's hoping I will add another sin. When I fall, I'll get back up. I hope the Lord will let me in. 'Cause I've been running from the devil.
I'm certainly pleased to be here. Glad to be back in Alturas. I love the drive up here. I could almost do it on autopilot. It's really a cool drive. I'm going to do a couple of things. First, I have my opening notes. I like to have a little opening note to my Bible passage for the day. And that Bible passage is coming out of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. So go ahead and put a finger back there. And it's interesting that in the passage today and on the front of your bulletin, No coincidence, no planning, no forethought on my part or Brian's or whoever ordered the bulletins. But if you back up to verse 11 and 12 of chapter 4, it says this, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to work, and mind your own business. I like that part. To work with your own hands as we commanded you, that you may walk properly towards those who are outside and that you may lack nothing. Lead a quiet and peaceful life. I think it's pretty appropriate. So this Lord's Day, I want us to consider the path laid out for us in the Bible and also the world to consider this path too. We have the ultimate leader, not President Trump, Jesus Christ. He's a man of his word, is he not? That was very lame, by the way. He's a man of his word, is he not? Amen. Or oh me, whichever you may do. He's warned us about coming events. He said, behold, I come like a thief in the night. I don't know about you, but thieves don't ever announce when they're coming to your house to steal stuff. If they did, they wouldn't make it home at my house. There'd be things waiting for them. We know the Lord always tells the truth. Do we not? The Bible tells the truth. The Bible is truth. We know that the Lord is a man of decisive action. He's proven that from creation through today and will continue to prove that all the way through to the end of the age. So we can ascertain that at some point in the future, the events he told us about in the New Testament and the predictions and prophecies of the Old Testament are going to come true. Can we not? Yes, we can. Paul, in his letter to the church at Thessalonica, writes concerning some of these events, but he's doing it not in a way of predicting what's going to happen, but in a way to encourage and to comfort the church at Thessalonica that was very concerned about all their friends who were dying and the Lord hasn't come back yet. They're like, what's going on? What's this thing about I'm coming back for you? If I leave, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to take you home to my Father. What happened to those things? Why hasn't the Lord come back yet? And what's happened to all our friends that have died? So Paul writes to them the letter specifically here in chapter 4 to explain what's happening and to give them some encouragement and an admonition. A warning that says, be ready. Now, if you don't mind, I'm going to stick this in my new handy dandy, if it'll get in there. There we go. Because I broadcast these on about four channels. Let's see, where's it? There it is. And these are viewed by up to 300 people a week. So, in our passage, chapter 4, verse 13 of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, the Bible says, and this is Paul writing, but this is God's word. This is God speaking through Paul to us today. Okay? The Lord says, but I do not want you ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who are asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. There were warnings and admonitions and negotiations that went on for weeks, for years, with the people of Iran. They did not heed the warnings. We did. The president did. You could go back to 2011 when he stated Iran cannot have a nuclear weapon. And we know if they did get one, what would happen? They would attack Israel and blow it off the map, or attempt to. But I submit to you, based upon my knowledge of the Word of God, that all those attempts would have failed because Israel is God's holy land. It's His people. And we do well as a country to keep that in mind and continue to support them. But I want to offer you an admonition and an encouragement, seven things that you should do or not do if the Lord did come back and you find yourself still sitting here. I entitled this, Seven Things to Do If You Get Left Behind. You see, God's promised, I'm coming back. Jesus said, I'm coming back. I'm going to come back for my people, and I'm going to take them out of the world, and I'm going to take them to heaven where I've gone to build mansions for them, and they're going to live there forever. And you go to the end of the book, we win. Last chapter of Revelation, we win. Well, what happens if you don't get to go? Well, there's some things you need to know. Seven things, and I'll try to make this brief. Number one, don't try to explain away where everybody disappeared to. It ain't aliens. We weren't kidnapped. Spaceships didn't come down and secrete us up out of the world into some faraway planet or wormhole or black hole or whatever. And that's one of the reasons that there's so much emphasis on aliens and extraterrestrials, because they're trying to disprove the creation story and say that we're all part of this big overall universal thing, that God didn't create us, that we're here because of another intelligent beings that flew here on a spacecraft. It's funny, if they were here, there were beings from another planet, and they were intelligent. I'm not saying that it's the best place to land because it's not that intelligent sometimes anyway, but why would you land in some farmer's field out in the middle of nowhere instead of landing in, I don't know, Wall Street, Pennsylvania Avenue, you know, some place where actual people governing the, or not even U.S., how about London, Paris, you know, Bonn, Germany? Somewhere other than a cornfield in Nebraska. I'm just saying, you know. But 1 Thessalonians 4:13 through 18 says, God is coming back. And the word there is, we use is rapture. Rapture does not occur in the New Testament. Rapture actually is a Latin translation of the word found in verse 17, where it says, we shall be caught up. In Latin, when it was translated, they used the word rapti, and it means to snatch. Give a good example. You got a bunch of kids out here. If they were getting ready to go into something dangerous and you couldn't, and you barely have time to react, you just grab them and pull them back from falling in the lake or getting out in traffic or doing something. You snatch them back. That's what the word means, is to snatch up. To grab out of the situation and put them in a safer position. So don't try to explain it away. There's going to be, it's hard to estimate, but there's going to be hundreds of millions of people disappear all at one time. And I like the Left Behind series and the movies, the way they showed it, that, you know, when a person leaves, everything that they have that is not eternal gets left behind. False teeth, you know, your hip replacement, your knee replacement, your glasses, your rings, your watches, your money. I'm told that, you know, people don't remember much about the service and the message. They just remember the any illustrations or jokes. So I got a great joke that goes along with that about a guy who was told by an angel he's going to die. And God said he's been such a faithful servant, you can take one thing to heaven. And the guy's like, wow, never heard anything like that. So he decides what he's going to take, and he's going to said he's going to take a suitcase full of gold. So day comes, he dies, he goes to heaven, he goes to the gate, he's getting ready to walk in, and the angel says, you can't bring that in here. And he says, oh, no, 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 I was told I could bring one thing, so I brought this one suitcase. And the angel says, well, I'm going to have to look at it. You know, did you pack your own bag? Did anybody else put stuff in it? So the angel opens it up and says, oh, paving material. You'll get that later. Don't expect for anyone. There will be a guy that will try to explain it away. That's called the Antichrist. Number two, don't look for any real believers left. There will be choir members, deacons, pastors, youth directors, sound booth people, nursery workers in every denomination, in every church, in all over the world left behind. And they'll be wondering what happened. The Lord may even come in the middle of a church service and people will be gone and others will be left behind, and they're looking at each other because they've been church members since they were on the cradle roll. I had a church like that at one time. Are you a believer? If you were to die today, would you go to heaven? Well, yeah. Well, why? Because I've been on the cradle roll since I was born. Not because they've accepted Christ, but because they were on the cradle roll. Notice, if you will, here it says in verse 16 and 17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And oh, by the way, we're not waiting on any more signs. We don't need the temple rebuilt. We don't need the Euphrates to dry up. And people are saying it's drying up. And it is. And it has to in order to fulfill prophecy. But we're not waiting on any more signs before Jesus comes back. There are none. Everything's been fulfilled. All we're waiting for is a sound, not a sign. A sound, not a sign. Because it'll happen with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet of God. And I played the trumpet, by the way, just so you know. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet them in the air, and the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. In other words, all the graves of all the believers, all the ones that have died in the ocean, died by fire, died by explosion, whatever else. I don't know how God's going to do it, but he brought them back from the dust when he made us in the garden. So I'm pretty sure he can bring us back from the dust in the ocean and whatever else. And we're all going to be brought together, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And the rest of us that are alive and remain will see them. And we will join them in the air. And as we are joining them in the air, we will be transposed from this earth suit into the eternity suit. We will be translated into our new bodies along with the people that are going up out of the graves. So don't look for any real believers. And we're going to be surprised by a couple of them, I guess, if we see them, because we didn't know they were one in the first place. Doesn't mean you have to be the best Christian in the world in order to go, and the less Christians are not going to go. Every believer has a mark on their life. It's called the Holy Spirit. It's called a surety. It's a down payment that God gave us with the Holy Spirit living in our sight. And that's the mark that Jesus is looking at and looking for when he brings us out of this world and takes us to heaven. He's not looking for our bank account. He's not looking for how many people we've invited to church, or how many committees we served on, or how much money we've given. He's looking for the mark of the Holy Spirit on your life. And if you don't have that, you're not going. And the only way to get it is by giving your life to Jesus Christ. You can't get the Holy Spirit any other way. In fact, if you go back to the Bible and look at several places, If somebody in the New Testament tried to buy a little bit of Holy Spirit, that didn't work out too well for them. And in the Old Testament, Saul, the King Saul, after Samuel died, he goes up. He's trying to communicate with the witch at Endor. You remember Bewitched, right? What was Samantha's mother's name? Endora. Things are not coincidental, as you might think. Don't look for any real believers. Number three, under no circumstances, do not, never, ever, never take the mark of the beast. Turn in your Bibles to back to Revelation 13:15. I like proving scripture with scripture. 13:13. We start there. It says, and he, the beast, the Antichrist, performs great signs so that even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he is granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give to the beast, to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should be both speak and cause as many who would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And he calls all of them, all creatures, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their forehead. Skip down to 18. And that mark is the number of man, 666. Is it the real 666? Bible says it's real 666. Do you know why that number is significant? Man was made on what day? Six. So six times three, or three sixes, is in the Bible, they don't, in Greek, they don't have a word for good, better, or best. If they want to say it's the best it's ever been, they do say it three times. Or if they want to say it's the worst it's ever been, they say it three times. 666, the worst it's ever been. The worst man, the worst sinner, the worst individual that's ever been born. So don't take the mark of the beast. If you take the mark of the beast, you can't get to heaven. And if you have the mark of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can't take the mark of the beast. It's impossible. And once you have the mark of the beast, you can't take the mark of the Holy Spirit or the sign of being a Christian. It's permanent. It's guaranteed. You ain't getting in with that. As a matter of fact, the Bible even goes on to say that without that mark, you will not be able to buy or sell or work or do anything. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, all the technology for that to take place is in existence today. They have chips they can put in our dogs and our cats and whatever else to find out where they're at, GPS. They have chips that they're experimenting with even years ago that has all your banking information that they put in your hand, and you just scan that, and it does all the work for you. There's a chip on your credit card, the little RFID thing that you put. The technology's there. Is it actually going to look like a 666? Maybe. I don't know. It doesn't give me clear guidance on that. But I just know this. The Bible says don't do it. And there's some things that are pretty cut and dried. Hey, you can't have a nuclear weapon? That's an earthly thing. Don't take the mark of the beast. That's God. That's God speaking, telling us don't take it. And if you do, you're not mine. Number four. This is a fourth thing to do or not do if you get left behind. If you get left behind, and in the interim of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is just tribulation, did you know Jesus is the one that gave the word tribulation to us? In Matthew it says, and such a tribulation has not been known since. He's the one that coined the phrase. If during the first 3.5 years you're still left behind and you become a believer, don't expect to have it easy. You won't. Because here's something that nobody is saying. You may not have ever heard this preached. You can go look it up yourself. This is the way I see it, understand it, based upon what I've read and researched. If you become a Christian during the tribulation, you will not have the power of the Holy Spirit inside you, living in you, to help you live for Christ. You'll be doing it all on your own. Why do I say that? Because the Holy Spirit, the church, all believers are now gone. Jesus came back, pulled his bride out of the mess, and there's nothing left to hinder hinder Satan from having his day and doing what he wants to do. There's no Holy Spirit to restrain evil. Think about that. Think about the most evil things that you know about. And think about even those things, the Holy Spirit is restraining the evil to some degree. I don't know about you, but I've seen some evil things and know about some evil things. And I shudder to think what it would be like without a restraining power of God to hold back the tide of evil. In Revelation chapter 6, verse 6 through 16 and following, it talks about the seals and the judgments that will take place during that time. The people left behind will, even if they become believers, they will be going through all these seals and judgments found in Revelation chapter 6 and following. Number 5, don't expect God to intervene or step in to save you or other believers until the very end. The Bible says, Revelation, as the Battle of Armageddon is getting ready to take place. By the way, the phrasing there is there's a battle going to be taking place in the Middle East, in the nation of Israel, on the plains of Megiddo. And that's where we get Armageddon. Napoleon, when he came through that area on his conquest, when he saw the plains of Megiddo, he made a comment that's recorded in history. This is one of the greatest battlefield places on the earth. It was such a great place to hold a battle. I don't know what meets that criteria or not, but that's what his observation was. And that place will be where all the nations of the world will rise up against the remnant of Israel to try and come in and destroy it one last time. And if God doesn't come back, if Jesus doesn't come back and stay that battle, the entire world will be destroyed. And that's not God's plan. So he steps in, stops the battle of Armageddon, defeats the armies of Satan, grabs Satan, angel ties him up in chains and throws him into the bottomless pit. That's all in the book of Revelation. Now think about the power of that angel. To be able to handle Satan and chain him up and throw him into the bottomless pit. That angel is not Jesus. It's a separate angel. And that angel is waiting for the day to fulfill his purpose. That's pretty cool, huh? That he can do that. Just wish he had done it a lot earlier. We'd be without a lot of problems. But when Jesus comes back to stop the battle of Armageddon and to defeat the forces of Satan, that is the second coming. The reason Jesus does not come to the earth and touch down and comes back to the air, comes back in the air and takes his church out, there's some theological stuff we can talk about. The fact that when Jesus died on the cross, where did he go? He went down to hell and he defeated Satan and he took from Satan the keys to death, hell, and the grave. It's a biblical and it's an ancient way of conquering. When they conquered an enemy, the conquering emperor would march them back into their country with chains around their necks, and they would show off all their property. That's the picture of Jesus defeating Satan and defeating him on the cross and in the grave. So Jesus has already defeated Satan in the spiritual realm. Jesus has already defeated Satan in the earthly realm. And what is Satan called? Is he not called the prince and power of what? The air. So when Jesus comes back and pulls his church out as he's in the air with the cloud of witnesses, he defeats Satan as the prince and power of air by pulling the church out. So his second coming, his return to earth, touching terra firma, is actually at the Battle of Armageddon when he stops the destruction of all mankind. Number six, and this one is something that really plays into what happened the last couple of days, but it's something that Jesus has said and Revelation further illustrates. Don't expect to make it alive through the whole 7 years. There will be literally billions of people who will die. Billions. The stench of death and dead people and animals and other dead things will be so powerful, I don't see how they can live. Because the Bible tells us all the green grass and green trees will be obliterated. They'll all be killed, dead. One third of all the water will be turned to blood. When all that water is turned to blood, what happens to all the fish and aquatic animals? They die. I lived in Florida. We had the red tide. What happened when you had the red tide? Things died. Things stink. I fished in Alaska for 20-something years. And when people clean their fish and they leave the carcasses on the bank, I mean, it's you got to almost hold your nose while you're cutting the fish up. I mean, it's really bad. And they've started making people throw their fish out into the middle of the river so it gets washed down further, but it's going to end up somewhere. And it smells. It's a stench that you just... I went to Katrina and did the disaster relief in Gulfport, Mississippi. I'll never forget the smell. Terrible. But billions of people will die from hunger, from plagues, from war, from murder, from persecution. The Bible says in Revelation 9:18 that one third of all the people left will be killed in a war. And here's the cool thing about the verses in 9:18 and also 16:19 Revelation. The Bible says that even with this happening, the purpose is not to destroy, but to call to repentance those people that are left behind. Man, what a loving God. What a compassionate God. Even though he's exercising judgment on his creation, he's still giving them the chance to come to the negotiating table. All they have to do is repent and they'll be saved. But they still deny. And so the plagues and trumpets, the seals, the bowl judgments continue to rain down on earth. Lastly, it tells us right here, and Paul is God speaking through Paul to tell the church at Thessalonica that you don't need a second chance. If you're a believer, you don't need a second chance. But if you're left behind, don't expect any mercy, any compassion. Don't expect a second chance. Because you had it. You had it today, June 22nd, 2025. God said, today is the day of salvation. Repent and believe. Trust in the Lord. Give your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Become a Christ follower. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll forgive you of all your sins. I'll wipe your slate as clean as snow. I'll cast your sin as far as the east is from the west. I'll cast your sin to the deepest part of the ocean and will remember it no more. And all you got to do is just say, yes. Yes to Jesus. And you can avoid all of this. There are people in my family that I'm praying for, even today, that I don't believe are believers. Mainly because I don't see a change in their life. And I don't know a day, a date, or time where they said yes to Jesus. And that's out of my 10 grandchildren. The good news is there's a few of them that are. And I have on my prayer list, on my 300 things that I'm praying for, I really don't have 300, I've got like 228. Of those 10 grandkids, I've got about 5 that are up there on the list. I got one grandson that he's either going to be, you know, in jail for, you know, some type of mass crime or something, or he's going to become a preacher. We don't know yet. Usually when he does the things like he's doing, they turn out to be preachers, because that's what happened to me. I was mischievous growing up. Very mischievous. And he is too. And God called me to preach. But before he called me to preach, he called me to believe. How do you do that, Pastor? Well, it's just like this. It's easy as A, B, C. All you'd have to do is admit you're a sinner in need of forgiveness and believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin, not just me, my sin, but your sin. Because you have to understand you're a sinner. You have to admit it, that you're a sinner in need of salvation. You have to believe that Jesus Christ came, lived a sinless life, died on the cross for your sin, and confess Him and ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. The Bible says you will be saved. Well, how do I do that? Well, every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody looking around. I've led literally thousands in a prayer just like this. Same kind of prayer I prayed when I was a kid, 6th grade. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I believe you died on the cross for my sins and rose the 3rd day so I could have eternal life and be forgiven. I confess my sins to you now and ask you to save me and forgive me in Jesus' name. Now, if you've never said a prayer like that and you need to say a prayer like that today, I want you to repeat that prayer with me again. Simple. Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I cannot save myself. I believe you died on the cross for my sin and rose the 3rd day so that I could have eternal life. I ask you to save me and forgive me and be my Savior and Lord in Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this time together today, and I pray that the word would not return void but would accomplish all that you've ordained it to do as you have declared in your word, and that by just seeing world events, Lord, we would be encouraged like the church at Thessalonica to not delay, but to wait and to watch for the coming of the Lord and to join Him in the air along with those who have already fallen asleep. And I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you have an invitation hymn or not, but during the invitation hymn, that's time for you to come do business. If you made a decision today, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you can come down to the front and I'll pray with you, and I'll take your name and get that in touch with Pastor Brian, and he can get in touch with you later on. Maybe you have another need you need to come down to the front. Just pray at the altar. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, you obey Him today in these fleeting moments.
Praise God, I'm a little bit closer on the path to the goal He set for me. Though my flesh will stray, He pulls me in closer to be more like Him each and every day. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit wiser to these worldly things tempting me. For His will, my shield, His word, my weapon. Christ, no demons touching me. So thank God, praise God, for drawing me to Him. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit closer. Thank God, praise God, for drawing me to Him. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit closer. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit older. I wake up to the sun, set me free. The chains are gone, the fear is no longer. Oh, no death, thank God, a hold on me. So thank God, praise God, for drawing me to Him. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit closer. Thank God, praise God, for drawing me to Him. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit closer. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit stronger. The joy of the Lord strengthens me to endure through trials and seas. Well, I can do all things through Christ in me. Yeah, thank God, praise God, for drawing me to Him. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit closer. Thank God, praise God, for drawing me to Him. Thank God, praise God, I'm a little bit closer.
Hey ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, and if you like this message, then you can help this ministry with a love gift, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.